in the sight of the Lord Jesus and in the presence of the Spirit of God as we pray. As we pray for the body and fight for the body, and as we seek the revival of, our own lives and the body of Christ, one of the great ways of seeing God dwell in our lives and in the midst of the body of Christ, again, is to do what Jesus did. I mean, how do you care for the fellow believers around you? I know one thing that connects us, the living Christ. Jesus gave a command that if followed would be absolutely astounding to the world. Astounding to the world. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. As you think in terms of believers in the body of Christ, and you think in terms of your relationships. And I'm going to say this, that we've all been through battles, we've all been through things that have occurred in the body of Christ, and we've probably have done things. We don't need to make judgments, we need to stand in the sight of God and say, Lord, your word says love does no harm to its neighbor. Romans chapter 12. And so that's the way we want to live. We do no harm to our neighbor. We do no damage. We're to be a blessing. We're to be building one another up. Listen, if we are in obedience to the Lord Jesus, if we love him, we'll obey him. And if we're obeying him, he's dwelling in us. And there is a demonstration that comes out of our lives. Obedience to the word of God brings a fullness of God inside of us and brings a witness to everything around us, everyone around us. So I want you to hear the words that I think most of us as believers have never memorized, do not place a lot of importance on, and probably have not sought to, in a clear, definitive way, obey it. But I think that if we put this to practice, regardless of anybody else, when I speak these words and you and I hear these words, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as a command to brothers and sisters in Christ. This involves a massive witness to the world around us. It's simply found in John's Gospel, chapter 13. Verse 34 and verse 35. Jesus Christ says to you, to me, a new command I give you. Now notice how he lays it out, a new command I give you. This is a, the command within the body of Christ. Like the command to reach the world for Christ, are we in obedience to that? Are we seeking to reach the world? Why would we think we're going to get all of heaven's breath and power and sign and wonder and miracle if we're not going to be a part of that massive mission to the world? Now, on the other hand, there is a command that, if obeyed, would demonstrate the body of Christ as some gathering of individuals unlike anything in the world. I mean, we would be able to pray better, listen to the word of God better, relate to one another, and use our spiritual gifts in brilliant ways. Verse 34, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. Love one another. Agape, love one another. Love one another. Repeat it again and again and again and again. Love one another. Love one another. May God heal all of our broken hearts and all of our damaged hearts. We can sit back with all the tones of betrayal and look what somebody did to me. You can sit back there all you want to and grieve the Spirit of God, but God commands us to forgive as Christ forgave us. Christ commands us as really the pinnacle, the apex of what the church is all about. Love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. Now read those words. And I urge you, in the immediacy of the presence of this same Savior that spoke these words, I'm reading the living words of Jesus as he's dwelling in you and I and with us. Can you hear him speaking? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. How do you do that? Well, look at Jesus. He gave his life. He gave his all. You know, love one another. Love one another. Give a pair of shoes. Help out. Give a holy hug. Bless. Pray for. Encourage. Keep an eye out. Protect. Love. Really, really love your brothers and sisters. Look at them and love them. So easy as immature in the flesh believers. We look at another believer that we don't think's living up to the standards, and so we stick our noses up into the fleshly air, and walls are built around. That's immaturity. That's the flesh itself. And we must repent. Jesus says, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. By this, the whole world will know. By this, we can think in terms of miracles and signs and wonders and God raising people from the dead and healing people. Those are all incredible, powerful witnesses of the presence of God and the work of the living Christ. But by this, Jesus said, in a fallen, broken world that has been severed with racism and nationalism and hate, God says, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men, all mankind, the world, will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Distinguishing mark. Evidence to the world. Absolutely incredible. And it's about obedience. It's about simply doing what Jesus has said. That's all that we're talking about. Doing what Jesus said. Now I'm going to take you quickly to the book of 1 John. If you want to see about the evidences of real believers and the fakes that were coming among the believers. Well, it deals with confession and doctrine and who Jesus is, but it also deals with behavior. It also deals with behavior. And we're told in the book of 1 John that if we talk about loving one and, you know, loving God but don't love our brothers, that's a lie. An absolute lie. How can we claim to love God whom we don't even see? And if we have any hatred, discord with our brothers and sisters? Well, that's the question. Chapter 3, verse 16, 1 John. This is how we know what love is. You want to know what love is? Listen, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's what loving your brothers and sisters is all about. Laying down your lives. When you go to gather as the body of Christ, is that our mentality? In verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. As a matter of fact, when you read the next couple of verses, that if we obey the commands of God, believe in Jesus, and love the brethren, the sister, love the brothers and sisters in Christ. If we believe in Jesus and love the brothers and sisters, it's very clear that our prayer life will be absolutely incredible. Study 1 John 3, 19, 20, 21, 22. When God says, and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. What are his commands? What is it that pleases God? Verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Wow. God sums it up in verse 24. Those who obey his commands live in him. They experientially live in Christ, in God, and he, God, Christ, in them. If you're going to be in obedience to the word of God, there's going to be an experiential fellowship, living experience. And it goes on to say this, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he has given us. There's an experiential witness of the Spirit of God. You stay in obedience to God. I don't care if other believers don't do it. You do it. Jesus commanded, love one another as I have loved you. In 1 John 3, this is how we know what love is. Dear sweet believer in Christ, don't hold back. Don't let anybody else's non-obedience or half-hearted obedience. Don't let anybody else who is spiritually dead, Laodicean. Don't let any of that turn you into just simply a cold critic. Instead, you, in relationship to Jesus Christ, stay in obedience. Keep caring for the body of Christ. Keep loving the body of Christ. Keep praying and saturating it with prayer. Keep using your spiritual gifts for the common good. Keep soul winning. Stay on fire. Please understand, the trick of the flesh, the trick of the devil is that if any other believers, and if all the other believers, if they're putting out the Spirit's fire, if they're grieving the Spirit of God, if they have grown cold, if they become Laodicean, you might as well just fit right in. Perish the thought. You don't have to give up God's fullness, grace, might, and your ability to bear fruit just because others have grown cold. You ever hear that old hymn, though none go with me, still I will follow? You ever, you know, sing that song out, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Though no one else, I don't want to wait for anybody else, though I'm inspired by many that I see. I don't want to be infected and spiritually dumbed down. I don't want to let that happen. And the good news is, as you're devoted to prayer, as you're being watchful of backsliddenness and hypocrisy and the coldness of a dead church, try to infect you. Break free. Realize that just because others fall, just because others have grown cold, in no way do you have to. Live in the power, the presence, and in obedience to the word of God, and God will literally, experientially fill and manifest in and through your life. You will bear fruit. You may be the spark, the spiritual manifestation of God's grace in an obedient believer that brings others to their knees. Stand. Whether anybody else does, bless the body, minister to needs, pray for individuals, give them gifts, help them, speak the word of God to them, embrace them, love them. And if you see fallen believers, look at James chapter 5, the very end. Go after those who have wandered away. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, those who have got themselves caught in some sin. You who are spiritual, you are obligated to go and help restore them gently, watching yourself. Oh, dear believer, even now, surrender in the sight of Jesus. And as you allow him to fill you and move you to being ablaze for God, realize that it will bring, you will infect the church with grace. You will literally walk in carrying, manifesting the presence of the living Christ. Faith-filled, spirit-filled, obedient to the word of God, believers do. May the Lord Jesus encourage you today. And by his supernatural omniscience and omnipresence, as I pray, may the spirit of power and the fire of mission clothe you, fill you. May the love of Jesus Christ overwhelm. Listen, it's that love of God that can be patient and kind. Hold no record of wrongs. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Read about what love is again and again and again and again. And yield to God who is love. To God who dwells in us. To God who said the witness to the world would be agape love. And one of the brilliant evidences of being filled with the Spirit, filled with God, filled with Christ, is that agape love. Oh, it can be spoken, but it's demonstrated in action and felt because the Spirit of God lives in it, lives in and through, manifests through your obedience to this command. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, 31 days with you ablaze.